ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, text number 8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo,
aham sarvasya prabhavo,
matak sarvam pravartate,
iti madhva bhajante imam
buddha bhava samanvita aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti madhva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvita aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti madhva bhajante imam buddha bhava samanvita Sarvasya of all, Prabhava,
the source of generation,
Mata,
from me,
Sarvam,
everything,
Pravartante,
emanates,
iti,
thus,
Matva,
knowing.
Bhajante,
become devoted,
Mam,
unto me,
Buddha,
the learned,
Bhava Samanvita,
with great attention.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
I am the source of all spiritual and material world.
Everything emanates from me.
The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, 124, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vedadati Purvam Yo Ve Vedamscha Gapayati Sma Krishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge. and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again, in the Narayana Upanishad 1, it is stated, Ata Purusho Havai Narayano Kamayota Praja Srijayati. Them, the Supreme Personality Narayan, desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayanad Brahma Jayante, Narayanad Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanad Indra Jayate, Narayanad Ashtavasavo Jayante, Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante, Narayanad Dvadasha Ditya. From Narayan, Brahma is born, and from Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. And from Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. Narayan Upanishad 4. Then it is said, Eka vai Narayana asin, na Brahma, na Ishano napo, na Agni samao ne me, jva abhritvi, na rakshatrani, na suryaha. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. Maha Upanishad 1. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. The Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatim cha rujam chap yaham eva shajami vai. Tahi mam no vajanito mama maya vimohito. The patriarchs, Shiva and others are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me, because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana, it is also said, Narayanaha paro devas, tasmad jatas chaturmukaha, tasmad rudra babadriva, satcha sarva gyatam gataha. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me, and no one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master with references from Vedic literatures engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations of the Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Milita Yena Tasmai Shigaru. Srila Prabhupada is pulling us out of the darkness of ignorance. This verse really explains everything. Really does. A major problem that exists in the world today is this. Nobody knows why they exist. I was preaching to some young students at a school in Helsinki, Finland, last year. And I asked the students, why do you exist? one little boy, he raised his hand, he says, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby. That's why I exist. You see? This is the material conception of existence. I am this body. But that material conception of existence, as they say, it doesn't hold water. It is not a very sane proposal that I am this body. In fact, it's insane. It's just plain insane. I am this body. Why? I can remember when I was a little child. The atoms, the molecules, the chemicals, the cells, you see, that make up this body, trillions of cells. They're all different than the trillions of cells that made up my body when I was, 4 years old. I still remember the first time I walked out of the house to explore the world. I didn't tell my mother, I just walked out of that door. Went off exploring the world. Somehow I went home again. She was totally in anxiety. Where is my son gone? But I went off on my own to make a little exploration of the world, and I came back. I remember that day. But the chemicals, the atoms, the molecules, the cells that constitute this body now are not the same. You see? Therefore, this self remains the same, but the body changes. 20 years ago, you may have been driving an ambassador car. Now you may be driving a Honda car. But you are still the same driver. The car has changed only. Ambassador car and now Honda car. So this idea that the body is a self, it is insane, right? Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And they build a whole civilization on this crazy idea that I'm this body. Is there any better way to understand why the world is so messed up? I mean, this world, just coming through Bangalore tonight, is such a chaotic, hellish nightmare. This is not human existence. This is lower than animal existence, the city of Bangalore. What is that word in English? Bungle. Something is a, when you bungle, that's called it's a big mistake. I really bungled it. This is Bungalore. It's a big mistake. They really, really bungled it. It's a bungle. They have built this city on the false conception that I am this body. You see? And therefore, nobody is happy here. No one is happy. We were sitting in the traffic. I was looking at the one shop, looking at the man. He's thinking his whole life is dedicated to standing at this counter and trying to make profit. He doesn't really care about the people that he's talking to, but he has the whole thing as an act. He's putting on this big show of serving the customers. He's not in a service mood. In this material world, everyone's in an enjoying spirit. And that's why nobody can be happy. Why? Because we are not the enjoyers. We are not Purusha, we are Prakriti. Purusha is enjoyer, Prakriti, enjoyed. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. We try to artificially be the enjoyer, and sometimes we may think, yes, I'm enjoying. And sometimes we feel, oh, this is so horrible. But if we can just try to give pleasure to the supreme enjoyer, if we can just try to give pleasure to that enjoyer, that Purusha, that Mahapurusha,
if we can simply dedicate every thought, every word, and every deed in all times, places, and circumstances to pleasing that supreme enjoyer, because we are part and parcel of Him, we even participate in that enjoyment also. When you feed your belly, your hand also becomes nourished. So this verse is very, very important verse to understand things as they are. We can understand, even without scripture, just by logic we can understand we have a non-material identity. You know, the scientists came up with this idea way back in 1959. Prabhupada wrote about it, An Easy Journey to Other Planets. Dr. Owen Chamberlain and his partner Emil Sagrillo, they came up with the theory of antimatter. You've read that, Easy Journey to Other Planets? The antimaterial particle. The scientists have come up with this idea. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the Atma, that is the soul. So this is the ABCs. This is what everyone should be learning in school. Okay, students, now this is your first day in school. The first lesson is you are not that body. You see? That's the very first lesson. But now they are crying that, oh, India is behind in sex education. Sex education later than the other countries, so we are behind the other countries. This is actually shocking. The land of India should be thinking in this way, people of India. Because real Indian culture, the real meaning of sex education is how to stop sex. That's sex ed. They're teaching the children how to have safe sex. They call that sex education. But the real sex education is how to avoid sex. That is sex education. How to give up sex life. In the Vedic culture, there are four orders: Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa. All four orders are meant for giving up sex. A Brahmachari, no sex. Sannyasi, no sex. Vanaprastha, no sex. Grahastha, under restriction, and give it up as soon as possible. You see? Under restriction and give it up as soon as possible. So every single order of Vedic culture is meant for giving up sex. And they want to promote how to have safe sex. There is no such thing as safe sex. Sex is dangerous, no matter how you cut it, because it brings you into the bodily conception. I am male, I am female, and I will enjoy sex. You see. Sex must be, is by its very nature, is dangerous. There's no such thing as safe sex. So, to understand the non-material nature of the self is essential. To become sane, to become knowledgeable, to become happy, to become peaceful, to become enlivened, to become successful, you must understand that you're not your body. First thing. First thing. And the next thing is understand, okay, we don't simply negate like Mayavad. We give positive things. You're the spirit soul, Atman. Jivera Savipahai, Krishna Nishada. The constitutional position of a living being is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. That information the Vedas are giving to us. So, with these understandings, now we can look here at this verse. And we can see that Krishna is the source of everything. Just as the sun is emanating, is spreading itself throughout the universe through its rays,
Krishna is diffusing himself throughout the totality of existence in the form of his energy. Spiritual energy, material energy. It's all Krishna's energy, but it's spiritual. Actually, everything Prabhupada said is spiritual energy. But it is becomes material when it is used outside of Krishna's service. Then it is material energy. But ultimately, originally, everything is spiritual energy because it's all the property of God. Isn't that a fact? Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Everything is owned and controlled by God. That's a fact. So, Krishna is the source of everything. He is the manufacturer of everything. Therefore, he is the owner of everything. And therefore, it is logical, if I own something, it is for my enjoyment. If I own a car, it is for my enjoyment. If somebody wants to take your car for a joyride, they're called a thief. They can be arrested. You cannot enjoy someone else's property. That is illegal. So since Krishna is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he is the owner of everything, therefore he is the only one who can actually enjoy it. No one else has any right to enjoy it, unless they have Krishna's permission to do so. So what we have permission. When we offer the food to Krishna, it becomes prasad, and we have permission to enjoy it, because we offer it to Krishna. A devotee does not give up being the enjoyer, but he agrees to be the secondary enjoyer after Krishna. And because of being the secondary enjoyer, which is his rightful position, he can actually be happy all the time. A non-devotee, a karmi, a fruitive worker, can only be happy some of the time, according to the sukha-dukha, the modes of nature. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad. But devotee can be happy all the time because he never tries to be the enjoyer. He just tries to give pleasure to Krishna. And in this way, the devotee is always happy. So actually, this is the most sublime philosophy that exists anywhere in the world. What we're explaining tonight, it is Raja Vidya. This is the topmost knowledge. I don't care what place you may go to. You may go to Harvard University, Yale, or Oxford University. You will not find any higher knowledge than this anywhere. Therefore, ISKCON is actually the leading educational institution in the entire universe. This is the leading educational institution. You will not find any higher educational institution. This Krishna consciousness movement is not based on some mental speculation. It is based on the authority of Vedic wisdom. Not some subset of the Vedic wisdom, like the Mayavadis do. They take half-hand logic. This part I like, this part I don't like. That I am God, I like that part. But that I am servant of God, I don't like. That I am one with God, that I like very much. So that part I take. That I'm different from God, all that part I ignore. That half-hand logic, ardha kukuti nyaya, that will not help one. You know that farmer, you see. He had that hen giving so many eggs. He was so happy, getting so many eggs from this hen, making big profit, selling all these eggs. But my God, this bird eats so much. He's eating up practically all the profit I'm making in the eggs. He's eating it up in chicken feed. Or she. Yeah, he doesn't make eggs. It's she. So, cut off the head. He thought, I have a very good idea, I will cut off the head of this hen. And I'm not feeding anymore, I'll just take the eggs. So Mayavadi is there like that. They say, this half is very nice, I am one with God. This half, I am different from God. Oh, that is cut off. Not very nice. I just like I am one with God. So you can't go into the Vedas and pick and choose like you go to some grocery store. Well, this grocery I will take home, this I will leave on the shelf. No. It's a package deal. You take the whole thing or you don't take it at all. Take the Vedic wisdom in full or leave it aside. A little bit of knowledge is more dangerous than ignorance. The Mayavadis have a little knowledge, but that's more dangerous than some pauper in the street who doesn't know anything about Vedas. Better to be an honest sweeper in the street than to be a charlatan meditator. So, in this Krishna Gananda's movement, we take the Vedic wisdom in full. We don't say, I pick and choose. No, we take it in full. We understand the Vedic statements in the context of the complete body of Vedic wisdom. We don't take things out of context to support our material sense gratification. We take things in the context that they are meant to be understood. The complete picture of Vedic wisdom, we take. And as Krishna says, the wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Everyone comes from Krishna. Some people say, well, Shiva is the supreme. But even, it's right there in the Shiva Purana, Shiva says that Vishnu worship is the highest form of worship. So everyone is pointing to Krishna. Shiva is pointing to Krishna. Brahma is pointing to Krishna. Everyone is pointing to Krishna. And they want to say, not to Krishna, not to Krishna, not to Krishna. Envious. Their envy of Krishna brought them to this material world, and their envy of Krishna will keep them in this material world. So we have to give up being envious of Krishna and agree to become lovers of God, lovers of Krishna. They want to take from God like a business deal. I will come to the temple, I will flatter you. You see, I will offer you some little puja, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadishai. You see? I will offer you a little puja and you give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me. They don't realize they are simply cheating themselves, you see. Krishna may give you, but you won't get Krishna. You see? Dhruva Maharaj, he was hankering for a kingdom greater than his father's, but when he saw Vishnu, he realized that Prishnigarbhi darshan. When he saw Prishnigarbhi, he realized I was hankering for simply some broken piece of glass, but now I have gotten the rarest gem. There is nothing in this material world that is valuable when you compare it with Krishna. Nothing, 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 nothing valuable. Nothing worth dedicating ourselves to. Simply, we should try to become Krishna conscious. So, we're very happy. My my wife and I, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, my wife and I, Sankarshan Das Adhikari, we're very happy that you've so nicely received us here in this wonderful ISKCON Sangha, ISKCON Jagannath Temple. We're very happy to be here. We arrived today from Vrindavan, where we were rolling, we were relishing the dust, the purifying dust of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and now we want to spread that Vrindavan atmosphere all over the world, so we're traveling around the world, going from here up to Mayapur, Bombay, Malaysia, Australia, Fiji, US, preaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world. We were just in Europe and in Qatar also we were preaching. Lecture series, we've been on the roads, traveling since September, traveling around the world, preaching to. So we're very happy to be able to come and with all you nice Krishna conscious devotees, so we can share with you this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. This is how we become strong. We share Krishna with each other. Whatever you have, whatever Krishna amount of Krishna you have, whatever I have, we can share with each other. The more we share Krishna with each other, the more we get Krishna. So you have some certain amount of Krishna consciousness. I have a certain amount of Krishna consciousness. By loving exchange of giving each other Krishna, much chitta and mad gita parana bodhiyantak parasparam, katayantapstamanyantashantachavimantacha. By exchanging Krishna consciousness with each other, giving Krishna, we get Krishna more and more and more and more and more and more. And when you give Krishna, you don't lose. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So there is no limit to how far this Krishna consciousness can expand. There is no limit to how far this Krishna consciousness movement can expand. Prabhupada said it would spread all over the whole universe. Just imagine going on an interplanetary Sankirtan course. We don't know what's lying ahead. All we know is we have a very exciting future that Prabhupada has given us. Everyone who has dedicated their life for pushing for this movement of Prabhupada's, this ISKCON movement, as it is, not the bogus ISKCON, so-called ISKCON. Prabhupada called it FISKCON. Not the false ISKCON, but the real ISKCON. Those who stick with ISKCON as Prabhupada established it, they will meet Prabhupada in Goloka Vrindavan. May we get special blessings and attention from Prabhupada for their dedicated service to his mission. Everyone. So anyway, I wanted to ask if there's any questions. Anybody have a question? I didn't ask what time this ends. Maybe around 9 o'clock it usually ends. Whatever. Is there any question? Was anybody listening? Or was anybody thinking about something else? So there's no, you don't even know what I talked about the whole time. Yes.
And you told that we are not this body.
Yeah.
For us, it's very difficult to, although we know this thing.
So he's saying we've stated that we're not the body, but it's very difficult to actually realize it. Yeah, there's two things. There's gyan and vigyan. Gyan means theoretically I can say I am not this body, and then I hit my elbow on something and go so I haven't really realized I'm not my body. So there's a bit, how do you actually? I know you're what you're doing is you're asking how do you realize not the body? That's what you mean to ask. So how do we get from the point of theoretically understanding that I'm not the body to actually tangibly realizing I'm not the body, actually being situated beyond the body in my consciousness? You see, that requires a whole lifetime of dedicated practice. How to sit actually.
tangibly, practically situate yourself beyond your body. And you know that's a pretty important thing. You know at what moment it will be extremely important to you? The time of death. Of course, that's going to be a long time from now, right? There's no guarantee. Every time I get out in this traffic in India, I know in these little tiny cars, there's no protection. There's not much space between me and the other vehicles. And it wouldn't take much to be. In India, the drivers are very expert, much more than in America, but I see some pretty bad mangled vehicles sometimes on the highway. So the drivers here are not perfect. So death can come at any minute. I could die tonight. This could be my last lecture. One of my godbrothers, he died while he was giving a lecture. Gurgovinda Maharaj. He was giving Prabhachan and he died. In the middle of the Prabhachan. That'd be a nice way to die. Talking about Krishna. And all of a sudden, boom, leave the body. The point is, we have to train ourselves as if you really here's what we really have to do. Live each day as if it is your last day on this planet. Because one day it will be. You should think, what if this is my last day on the planet, and then within 2 hours I will leave my body. So how serious now I will be to hear and understand and realize my spiritual identity as an eternal spiritual being beyond the body. We have to think like this every day. Don't just think, well, I have to go to work today. No, the first thing to think, I have to reinforce my understanding today of my spiritual identity. That's how we should begin the day, thinking like that. Immediately reinforce our spiritual conception. I had the advantage today of waking up in Vrindavan Dham. And I had gone several days ago to Kamyavan and prayed to Vrindadevi, the original Vrindadevi deity. And she is the orchestrator of Vrindavan Leela. I had asked her that, please give me the boon that I can have some kind of role in the Krishna's Leela, Vrindavan Leela. So somehow this morning I woke up long before the alarm went off, and my mind was just fixed on Vrindadevi when I woke up this morning, my last morning in Vrindavan. And I was just thinking of Vrindadevi and how intensely I had begged her for some, any role. I don't care what it is. I can be a monkey. I don't care what it is. Just some kind of a role in Vrindavan. I begged her for that. And it's bona fide because we pray like that in the Tulsi prayers every morning. We pray to be maidservants. It's a bona fide prayer to pray like that. So I started my day that way, just in the mood of begging Vrindadevi that I could have. So I was reinforcing my spiritual understanding of myself, you see, by praying in that way. So the idea is that one should always reinforce their spiritual understanding of who they actually are. You should train yourself to always think that way, always talk that way, and always act that way. It may seem artificial in the beginning because we're so much rooted, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an Indian, I'm an American. You see? We're so much rooted like that. We have sexual hormones that get stimulated by the opposite sex. See, these things are so much problem to deal with, you see. But we have to just rise beyond these things. And by praying in the proper spirit, by doing everything in the proper spirit, We can fix ourselves in transcendental consciousness so that we're, you know, constantly strengthening our understanding of our spiritual identity, and it gradually becomes established as an irrevocable fact, you see, fully realized. It's a gradual process. But if you keep endeavoring it every minute to reinforce your spiritual understanding of who you are, you force your attitude to come to that point. You force your words to come to that point. You force your actions to come to that point. The realization will come, because actually you have that realization already. You actually have a swarup in the spiritual world. You have a spiritual identity. And this is Prabhupada, in the introduction of the Gita, Prabhupada talks about swarup siddhi. You have an eternal spiritual identity in the spiritual world. So if you will endeavor at every day, at every minute, to reinforce this conception, the spiritual identity of the self, then gradually that consciousness of who you actually are will become revived. I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm Krishna's eternal servant. That will become fully revived. You will experience, when you come to that level, you will see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. Whether you're at the temple, whether you're walking down the street of Bangalore, whether you're in your office, your job, your school, whatever, you will see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Questions more? Yes.
Krishna told Arjuna in the fourth chapter that you are my devotee.
Yes.
Then how Arjuna was putting illusion in that battlefield if he was such a great devotee?
That was his service. A great devotee is willing to do anything for Krishna. So Arjuna was given the service of being put into illusion so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. He has no conditions on his surrender to Krishna. So that was because he's Krishna's devotee, that was, he was given that service. Of course, he was actually put into a state. It's not that he was just mouthing some words. He actually was in that state of mind for all practical purposes. Wasn't really, but he was a liberated soul throughout the whole experience. But it's called a yoga maya, a spiritual maya he was in. He wasn't in Mahamaya, but he appeared to be in Mahamaya. He was in a spiritual illusion. Actually, but it was a perfect simulation of Mahamaya. He manifested all the symptoms, perfectly manifested the symptoms of somebody who's in Mahamaya, but we are in Mahamaya. He was in Yogamaya, actually, but perfectly. A perfect duplicate of Mahamaya down to the subtlest detail. Anything else? Yes. Huh? Was it? Oh, yes. When I was growing up in America, I was seeing everyone around me appear to be happy. Everyone was always saying, I feel good. Everybody claimed to be happy. But I knew that I wasn't happy. There's something wrong with me. In this world, everybody is happy, but I am unhappy. When I got to college, everybody was all fired up, you know, enthusiastic to get a major, get a career. Well, I just wanted to know, what is the meaning of life? To me, choosing a field of study, choosing a profession, choosing a career was irrelevant. First, what is the meaning of existence? That I wanted to know.
I was taking philosophy courses, but they weren't, these philosophers didn't have any answers to these questions. But then I met someone, one student, co-student. He told me that there was something called yoga, where you could become spiritually enlightened. So I did some reading. I found out there were these great souls in India who achieved this state of spiritual enlightenment beyond all misery. They said, yes, that's what I want. So I went, I began searching for a guru. And the first guru had me, sent me some home study lessons. He had me staring at a candle. And that didn't work. I was just as miserable after I stared at the candle as I was before I stared at the candle. But I did have a good time when I burned the lessons, actually. I burned all the lessons. I felt that gave me a little pleasure. The next guru, I rejected that guru. The next one told me, you are actually God. But you're playing hide-and-go-seek with yourself right now. So all you have to do is come out of hiding and be God again. So I tried it for a few days. It seemed to work pretty good. But then I noticed things weren't going the way that I wanted them to go. So the whole idea of being God, just I didn't seem to be able to pull it off very well. So I gave up that guru also. Then I went to another guru. He was a popular teaching, giving one mantra. You pay some money, he gives you a silent mantra. So I went to that guru, I got initiated, I paid my money. You pay money for diksha, like a fee, you pay your initiation fee. It's like buying a commodity on the market, you know. I paid my initiation fee, I got the mantra. And I was chanting the mantra, aing. Of course, it was silent. You're not supposed to say it out loud. Aing, 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 aing. Nothing happened. No lights came on. I was still miserable. I was more miserable after all that aing, 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 aing than I was before. So, you know, I went to another guru who said that we're all avatars. Each and every one of us is an avatar. So I went to so many gurus, this guru, that guru. Finally, I found Prabhupada. Truth works. If somebody asks you, what is the proof of Krishna consciousness, the validity of Krishna consciousness? You simply can answer it in two words. Truth works. None of the other so-called truths worked. They didn't get me out of misery. They didn't enlighten me. I was more miserable after having been cheated by that so-called guru than I was before. Because I became more discouraged in my search for spiritual enlightenment. But when you actually find the truth, it is practical, it works, it transforms you. You see? So when I came in touch with Prabhupada, I was transformed by Prabhupada's mercy. Truth works. So that's how I, in a nutshell, that's how I came to Krishna consciousness. Things have never been the same. Just keeps getting better and better all the time. See, it's not for the last 34 years. It just keeps getting better and better and better and better. You go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into bhakti. See, it just gets better and better and better and better. Sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Just imagine if you could eat a feast, and the more you ate, the more your hunger increased, and every bite became more and more delicious. And you became more and more energized and more enthused the more you continued eating glob jamun after glob jamun after glob jamun. Spiritual world, you could eat 10 million glob jamuns and not get sick. So Krishna consciousness is the ultimate glob jamun. It has unlimited juice. You can squeeze that glob jamun and get a whole universe of juice out of it. You can squeeze it and get another universe of juice. Krishna consciousness, there is unlimited juice. In that one mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, there is unlimited nectar in that Hare Krishna mantra. Any other one? Just one more question. Yes. Wait, the door. So I can hear. I couldn't hear over the door. Right.
Truth works.
Truth works.
So someone may think that TM is the truth that works for them.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, I know it didn't work for me. That's the first thing. Actually, the fact is, I went to the after I took the TM. We had a special follow-up session. Everybody else said, oh, isn't it great? They all felt like it worked. So the question is, well, is it just relative? If something works for you, then it's good, then it may not work for someone else, but, you know. That is an argument. That whatever, you know, yatamat tatapat. If it's good for you, then it's good for you, and it may not be good for someone else. For someone else, something else is good. So the question is there an absolute truth or not? There are people who argue there is absolutely no. Actually, there is no absolute truth. Truth is only relative. But we have to ask them if they're absolutely sure that there's no absolute truth. You cannot absolutely say there's no absolute truth, because then you're contradicting yourself. You understand? The negation of the absolute cannot be absolutely made. So, by the absurdity of the non-existence of the absolute, the absolute truth is logically proven. There must be an absolute, because there cannot absolutely be no absolute. Therefore, there can absolutely be an absolute, but there cannot absolutely not be an absolute. You understand? It's illogical. There has to be an absolute truth. An absolute truth means that it's true in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So the fact is that Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth. Because anyone who takes up this process will achieve Krishna consciousness, will become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead. These other processes don't liberate anyone. The authoritative Vedic wisdom confirms these points. And practical experience, we can see also how rascal, how nonsense they are, who follow these bogus gurus. The guru is going to hell, and the followers are going to hell with him also. We can see practically. They have no saintly qualities. It's simply cheating and bluffing, that's all. Questions more? So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.